This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Division of the Arts and Humanities at the University of Chicago, offering an interdisciplinary Master of Arts program in humanities that provides individualized attention in a supporting community. The flexible curriculum allows students to focus coursework within a single department or engage with multiple disciplines, creating a uniquely tailored graduate degree. Applications now open for the April 30th deadline at humanities.uchicago.edu.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. A tax incentive plan aimed at keeping the bears in Illinois advanced in the State House today amid opposition from City Hall and questions about whether Democrats can whip up enough votes to pass it. Democratic State Representative Cam Buckner of Chicago is carrying the bill. He says it allows the team to negotiate a freeze on property tax assessments with local taxing districts, in this case Arlington Heights, Cook County, and local school districts. Still to be determined is the massive infusion of infrastructure funding needed to pay for road, sewer, and utility work at the former Arlington International Racecourse site. The bill now moves on to the full House for consideration, but they have adjourned for the week. Meanwhile, Indiana lawmakers today gave final approval to a tax incentive plan aimed at enticing the bears across the border. That proposal would create a new stadium finance authority and a bevy of new taxes to generate up to $1 billion to help build a new stadium in Northwest Indiana. The Bears would sign a 35-year lease, allowing them to retain all the money generated by the stadium. Republican State Senator Ron Altig says he's, quote, darned excited that Indiana is, quote, open for business. The plan now heads to Governor Mike Braun's desk. Illinois lawmakers are hoping to bring suicide prevention resources to public spaces. A bill called Tamara's Act would require public buildings to display information about the 988 suicide prevention hotline. It would also bring suicide prevention education to public schools for grades 6 through 12 and for those reentering society after incarceration. Here's Democratic State Senator Christopher Belt, the bill's sponsor.
It's about one simple goal, and that's saving lives. Suicide prevention requires awareness, education, and access to resources. All the things that this bill addresses.
The measure is named for an SIU Carbondale student who committed suicide in 2014. The Blackhawks returned to the ice tonight against the Nashville Predators after their long break for the Olympics. The Hawks only had one player participate at the Olympics, forward Teuvo Teravainen, who won a bronze medal with Finland. Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill says the long wait for the rest of the team has made the players antsy to get back on the ice.
Definitely ready to get going, and it's going to be a sprint here to the end of the regular season. Everybody's got lots of games. It'll be fun to get going again. It's been a long stretch here, so we're definitely ready to get going again.
It's unclear how long this Hawks squad will stay together. The trade deadline's coming up on March 6th. Puck drop in Nashville, set for tonight at 7. You're listening to The Rundown. Today and tomorrow, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. will be lying in repose at Rainbow Push headquarters in Kenwood. Jackson died last week at 84 years old. Attendees inside today were greeted by Jackson's children, Mayor Brandon Johnson, and the Reverend Al Sharpton. Crowds of people lined up outside chanting, "I am somebody," and "Keep Hope Alive," as recordings of Jackson's speeches played from speakers. Jackson will lie in repose for a second day tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Reverend was many things to many people, and in Chicago, he was everywhere. In churches, at protests, at City Hall, at Rainbow Push. My WBEZ colleague Summer Van Benton asked Chicagoans how they remember the civil rights leader, and a few themes kept coming up.
First, people say he was visible and always present within the community. Austin resident Langston Harris first saw Jackson at 14. His mom took him to a Rainbow Push Saturday forum.
I just remember the Keep Hope Alive, like the chant that was going on.
The chant, led by Jackson, was core to the Reverend's civic and political campaigns. At the time, Harris didn't fully understand it.
I thought I was like, what are we doing?
But he remembers feeling the energy in the room. When Jackson died, Harris noticed something while scrolling through social media.
So all my friends from Chicago have at least one picture with him.
He says Jackson was
being like very present, very local, very visible, and like actually literally down with the people.
Historian Barbara Ransby says she once saw Jackson as a movement celebrity. Someone who was mostly on TV, who wasn't hands-on in the fight for civil rights. But over time, her perspective changed. Ransby eventually realized how involved he really was.
I've seen him at small marches and big marches.
She remembers finding herself on a picket line with Jackson.
I said, Reverend Jackson, is that you? He said, oh, yes, me, Dr. Ransby. You know, like 20 people. He showed up and he stayed.
Ransby says whether he was marching alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or supporting union workers, Jackson was there. Second, even with his fame, many people felt he genuinely cared about them. Former neighbor Phyllis Brooks Toback says even as his profile rose, she believed everyday people remained his number one priority.
He was a man of the people, and that was his self-image, and he never really, you know, he never really changed it as far as I could see.
Third, Chicagoans saw him as someone who opened doors for others. Some, like Austin resident Corey Dooley Johnson, point to Jackson's two presidential runs, campaigns that reshaped what national politics could look like.
Now, some say led the way for Obama to get into office. So definitely a trailblazer.
People also said Jackson had a commanding presence. Dooley Johnson saw Jackson for the first time later in the Reverend's life at an interfaith breakfast.
And I remember seeing him, and even in a wheelchair, you could just like feel his aura, right, and his legacy.
He was tall, handsome, and his speeches commanded the room. To some, Jackson's confidence read as ego. Brooks Toback says that could be polarizing, but it comes with the territory.
Jesse liked arousing attention, and he was pretty fiery in a lot of his speeches.
Still, many say what defined him most was his persistence and how he evolved. Ransby calls him principled, not perfect.
And he's somebody that has always had room to grow and at least on some occasions recognize that.
For some, Jackson's death feels like a profound loss, but they're also grateful for the life Jackson lived. Summer Van Benton, WBEZ News.
There are some street closures around Rainbow Push on the south side. South Drexel is closed between Hyde Park Boulevard and 49th Street. 50th is closed between Drexel and Ellis. Those closures last tomorrow from 5:30 a.m. to 11:15 p.m. Mostly clear skies are forecast tonight. Expect lows in the mid to upper 30s. Sunny and breezy to cap off the work week on Friday. Highs in the low 60s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.